on the record at 10:12. Dr. Cornwell?
All right. Thank you very much for your patience. We're back, and so there's a motion on the table with a second. Would you remind the board what that motion is?
So the motion is for a consent agreement for the certificate holder to complete 6 hours of documentation and combination of supervision and take the Arizona law exam to be completed in 1 year with early termination available.
Okay, so you ready for the vote?
Yes.
Let's call the question.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
The motion passes for the consent agreement.
Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
Okay. So the matter's.
We're done.
Do we need to amend the notice?
There was no additional.
That was the motion that was on the table at the time. The motion was voted and passed. Somebody on the dissenting vote could. So I believe parliamentary procedure would allow somebody who dissented on the vote to ask. Help me here.
It passed.
Let's move on.
It passed.
It passed.
Okay. Let's see, item 4B, number 3, case number 19-54, Arlene Shi. So,
would you like a case review?
Please.
Case number 19-54 was opened on November 26, 2019, after review of complaint number 1916, Carl Malmquist, physical therapist. The board alleges that Ms. Shi engaged in substandard care, made misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations, aided or abetted a person who is not licensed to serve by the state, and directly or indirectly performed activities requiring a license or certificate, failed to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, or illegal act, and failed to maintain adequate records. The case is for you.
I make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion? Hearing then, I'll call the question.
The motion is to dismiss case 1954, Arlene Shi, physical therapist. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Case is dismissed.
Okay. Case number 19-17. Nicolette Owens, physical therapist.
Case summary, the board opened complaint 1846 when the daughter of patient JD fell while receiving physical therapy from Nicolette Owens. He was diagnosed subsequently with a fractured right hip. This case is for your review.
I make a motion to move this to an informal hearing.
Second.
Any other discussion?
Is there any, and that's with the findings of fact and the conclusions of law within the, oh, I see. I make a motion to accept the additional potential violations of law, which are listed in the investigative report. Do I need to say them?
Yes, please, and I believe they're on page 4.
Which would be ARS 3220-4420, R424-303, ARS 3220-4413, ARS
3220-4414. Second.
With the corresponding findings of fact?
Correct. Thank you, ma'am.
motion before you is that you have been moved and seconded to move to an informal hearing and add potential violations of law of ARS 32-2044-20, 32-2044-13, and 32-2044-14 with the corresponding findings of fact.
And pardon me, Dr. Donahue, also AAC R-424-303, is that correct?
And R-424-303, but that actually should be 304.
It should be 304 because 303 is supervision.
Correct. Are you ready for the vote? Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The complaint will be moved to an informal hearing.
Okay. Next is case number 19-32, Ralph Morales, Physical Therapist Assistant.
This complaint was opened after a review of complaint of 1821, Christopher Morales, Physical Therapist Assistant. The board alleges that Mr. Morales engaged in substandard care in the treatment of patient J.N., a resident of Royal Oaks. This case is for your review.
I have a little bit of difficulty understanding why a PTA would go in to see a patient and the patient say, I fell, and would not contact the PT, regardless of the patient saying, I'm fine. So I think there's some grounds for discussion.
Well, that, I think that is one of the issues with the case. So is there a motion?
I make a motion to move this to an informal hearing.
It's been moved.
Second.
Discussion? It's been moved and seconded to move complaint 1932 Ralph Morales, PTA, to an informal hearing. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Let's do with number 14, item 4C1, review, discussion, and possible action for potential opening a complaint, LH, physical therapist assistant.
I make a motion that we just...
Or take
I'm
no
sorry, action. I didn't hear action.
Take no action.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Who second?
Karen.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to take no action for LH. PTA. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. King?
Yes.
Dr. King? I apologize. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The board will take no action.
And we've had no contact with our gentleman from...
No, unfortunately.
Okay. Let's move back to item number 4A1, case number 18-14, Amy Brannon.
Well, if we could, Mr. Bina,
sure.
let's let Dr. Cornwell open the matter.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah,
sorry,
he just has a script where he needs to open the matter and take roll call, and then we can address the preliminary motion for pro hoc vice.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay. This is the time set for the board's consideration of the request for a rehearing or review of the board's order issued in the matter of Amy Brannon, physical therapist, case number 18-14, following the informal hearing. Ms. Brannon, please come. Why don't you come forward? You can find another chair. You can either move that desk up. And please introduce yourself, and then we're going to have your legal counsel introduce themselves for the record.
Hello, I'm Dr. Amy Brannon, physical therapist.
Good morning, Mark Bina. That's spelled B-I-N-A.
I'm Nate
Mesa.
Okay. I am Mark Cornwall, the board president. The board members have received and reviewed your motion for a rehearing review, the attachments and the entire record of this case they've reviewed. I'll now have the board introduce themselves along with the board staff and legal counsel.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Kelly King, professional member.
Karen Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwall, professional member.
Mishka Rennick, professional member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Mona Baskin, assistant attorney general, representing the board.
Kara Dunhue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Monica Cardoza, administrative services officer.
Judy Richardson, law investigator.
Okay. Before we get too far into this, just to kind of remind you that this is being audio recorded. So everyone please speak clearly and only one person at a time so that the audio recording is clear, right? Let's deal with the preliminary.
Yes, Dr. Cornwall, I believe that Mr. Bina has gone through the bar and wants to present himself to be accepted as to represent Dr. Brandon Prohak-Vishay.
Okay. Do we need to
Yes, you
will. By vote or?
Moved to accept
yes.
The application.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the application. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
You may proceed.
Okay. And then I believe Mr. Bina will just need something from the board, a letter from the executive director to that states that this is the board action on this specific action item.
Okay. Right. Pursuant to AAC R4-24-308, the board may grant a review or rehearing of the order in part or in whole if the moving party establishes that one or more of the grounds listed in the rule materially affected their rights. This is the time for legal arguments related to the grounds for rehearing or review. So, if you could make it as succinct as possible, that would be great, right? We're not up to a specific deadline, but we do have all the materials, and so I don't know that we need to reiterate them too often, okay?
Mr. President, I appreciate that comment. Absolutely, our intent certainly is not to belabor this or have a talking contest that's in no one's interest. We simply want to make sure that Dr. Brandon's arguments are fully and thoroughly heard, and the board appreciates and understands where she's coming from in light of this one. And again, appreciate the board's assistance earlier with moving the agenda along, and just appreciate your attention on all of this. But really, I think the main reason we're here today, of course, is Dr. Brandon requests a review of the board's last outcome. The issue that I believe is most concerning to Dr. Brandon is the quantum of discipline. 6 months probation, plus I believe it was 3 charter reviews, as a result of a single complaint from a student. And let's be clear, this is a student relationship that worked for Dr. Brandon for a period of 10 days. Right? Dr. Brandon has, again, practiced in the state with 0 prior discipline, 0 complaints for over 10 years. She has successfully supervised over 50 prior students across the entire spectrum of the PT workforce from every segment. And again, she's got some of her students asking to work for her. She, again, is certainly respects that relationship between the PT and the student intern. However, what we would like to submit, and I believe that our brief did convey, ultimately, I think this comes down to a breakdown of communication between a student and a PT. This is unfortunately a PT that had a personality conflict, I would submit, with Dr. Brandon. Unfortunately, this student did not want to work very early, given the hours that was set up. For whatever reason, this PT and Dr. Brandon, although Dr. Brandon's view seemed to get along fine, the student certainly did not, culminating in this student walking off the job to go out for ice cream on her day. Without any understanding of exactly what the problem was, the next time that Dr. Brandon heard from the student was when the complaint was filed. And again, the student, Ms. Kengelfitz, I understand, submitted that complaint to But I think it's notable, members of the board, that Ms. Kenkelfitz did not appear in any of the prior proceedings of this matter, unlike Dr. Brandon, who, again, I think the record is clear, has cooperated fully from the very first communication in this matter. Unfortunately, we're now coming up on a two-year anniversary of this, what I would consider a communication breakdown between Dr. Brandon and her student. Again, the student was here for 10 days, to be very clear. I think from our perspective, from Dr. Brennan's perspective, not only was the student, I think, having a personality conflict, but ultimately it was the basis of that complaint and then what happened successfully before this board. The goal today is we simply, again, as the briefs, I believe, clearly communicate, we would ask the board to simply revisit the initial charge of what was identified as the problem in this case, which in our view, at maximum, could be a documentary issue. There was an opportunity for improvement for Dr. Brandon to improve on her documentation. She grabbed the bull by its horns and voluntarily took those CD programs, in large part because she, again, as a valued member of the PT community, is observing and seeing what this board guides its members, both in public meetings and in its audio recordings. So in other words, she, before even receiving what potential discipline might see, she did this on her own accord upon realizing that this was an issue. Now, ultimately, the legal issue, as our brief indicated, was the concern about the finding of substandard care. Our submission in the brief, I believe, identified some confusion in the record as to what perhaps different board members' intents were in terms of charging this case. Myself, I'm a former director of an administrative board, although in another state. I understand fully and appreciate the challenge that you all have with the various matters that are coming across your desk moves very quickly. They're complex issues, for sure. You're having to move from one to the next. And from our view, in reading the transcripts, it appeared that there was some confusion where a charge, the documentary charge, was not initially charged in the matter. Ultimately, the board determined that it would instead go to a standard of care issue involving, again, a single patient. What did the student charge here? She charged that Dr. Brandon somehow instructed her to transmit or copy over demographic and other treatment data in a patient file. I believe it's called WebPT. You may be familiar with that program. At the time, that was not an automatic process. But again, this goes down to communication. Like all great relationships, it's based on communication. We would submit that this student perhaps didn't fully understand the expectation on the one hand, but also this student did not have the thought or the peace of mind to come and ask, Dr. Brent, what should I be doing here? What is it that you're asking me to do? But to instead pivot immediately and file a complaint with the board, again, we would submit that that's problematic. So ultimately, what is the evidence before the board? Ms. Kenkelfitz did not testify. There's no evidence in the record of her testimony. Moreover, Dr. Brandon did not have the opportunity to cross-examine Ms. Kenkelfitz, the student who made these allegations, unfortunately. What is in the record is an affidavit from the patient in question that contradicts the charges that Ms. Kenkelfitz is submitting. Ultimately, this patient is testifying under oath in an corroborated format that the appropriate measures were taken, the appropriate evaluations and diagnostics were done, and that Ms. Kenkelfitz's observation, such that they were incorrect. Ultimately, our argument today, and I understand this has all been read, I appreciate the board taking its time to review our papers, but ultimately the arguments, legally, we're here on a motion for review and or rehearing. I understand there's some flexibility. We're not suggesting that the board has to somehow conduct a new evidentiary hearing. We think the evidence is pretty clear what occurred at the prior hearing. Again, Dr. Brandon testified twice, fully answered all the questions that the board had. Kenkelfitz did not. But what is in the record, again, confirms that there is no substandard of care. In other words, the patient, Dr. Brandon, are all testifying truthfully that the treatment that Ms. Kenkelfitz is complaining about did not occur. So ultimately, we're focused on the review segment of this law, in particular subsection D5 and D7. And in our brief, that is, on the one hand, the excessive or insufficient penalty, pardon me. And then D7, that the findings of fact or decision were not justified by the evidence and contrary to law. On the first part, we believe that the evidence of record does contain sufficient information to support that the substandard care segment ought to be dismissed, or certainly would not tie itself to that type of finding or sanction that would typically accompany that level of a charge. In the alternative, to the extent that the board does believe there is a documentary issue, let's say, or an opportunity to improve, if that is something that the board intends on charging, we must go back to during the informal interview, the informal hearing, when there was some confusion about how to charge this, and have the board refocus on what that was. The board does that, and again, our brief, I won't go into every case, but certainly we cited 7 or 8 prior PT cases in which a documentary alleged violation resulted in, more often than not, a non-disciplinary order with an accompanying CE, continuing education, component. From our view, that is where the board typically comes down on these types of violations. And ultimately, we would believe, in the second part of our argument, that the 6-month probation would be, frankly, too excessive and in violation of subsection D5. In our case law that we cited, again, we'll get into it, I understand everyone's read everything, ultimately provides that on a single instance, again, a single instance of complaint that did not involve any issue of patient harm from a student who had worked 10 days and is the aberration of an otherwise sterling career, that she is unfortunately now finding Dr. Brand in the situation of having to be on the precipice of discipline of her professional license. This is her career. So we would ask again the board ultimately to revisit its initial determination in terms of the substandard of care issue. Instead, focus back on what this case originally, and we believe that the board members correctly identified that, if anything, it's a documentary case, and one that ought to be sanctioned, if any, at that commensurate level. So with that, again, I understand time is somewhat short, and everyone doesn't want to hear all the particular details of each case. I understand that it's been reviewed, but at this point, I'll pause, perhaps, and see if the board has any questions for me, for counsel, Dr. Brand, or otherwise, anything we can do, or any issues in that presentation that can help you.
Okay. Does any board member have questions for Brandon or her counsel that would help clarify things for you?
Mr. Bima, in Arizona, is it appropriate for the board to consider the testimony of the complainant, even if the complainant doesn't testify?
That's a great question, Member Greer. I appreciate that. The short answer is yes. The short answer is, as a public board that is entrusted, of course, with protecting the public health, you are to consider all information that goes before. Absolutely. We're not suggesting that you completely ignore it. What I would ask the board to do, however, is to wait. Ultimately, this board is a fact finder that has to, just like in a normal trial court across the street, an administrative board sitting as an administrative hearing officer ultimately has to weigh not only the evidence, but also the truthfulness or believableness of each witness. And this is why, again, trials occur in person. Subpoenas often require, or the state to require, a witness to meet its burden of proof. That allows the fact finder to determine what level of believability can we provide to Dr. Brand, or what level of believability can we provide to Ms. Kanklefitz. I would submit to you that Ms. Kanklefitz's absence in this case is telling. It suggests that she either does not want to submit herself to cross-examination, for which I am more than happy to inquire into, but I believe that the board ought to, can and should, weigh the relative admissibility, in a sense, or how much to weigh this testimony based purely on a single written statement and following the context and background of this particular
statement. But it wasn't a single written statement. It was also the interview.
Absolutely. So again, I didn't want to misspeak. For sure, she absolutely was interviewed. But I mean, in the sense that what and how to weigh credibility, that comes down to what was before you tonight. So I would just ask that you weigh that accordingly.
And I understand that, but you understand that there is evidence.
Yes.
In the record that Ms. Brannon did not do the treatment that she says she did. You understand that, correct?
I understand that's her allegation, yes.
Okay. And she, that's what she reported, right?
That's what the student reported, correct.
Okay. And I think you answered this question, but I just wanted to make sure. The board can choose to believe the student over Ms. Brannon, right? That's in the purview of the board.
Correct. You're in the business of holding hearings and making credibility determinations, of course. Okay.
I noticed, I think it's a typo in your brief on page 3, the second point. Actually, it's page 2. Second, because the order represents success of penalty, single report instance of poor documentation does not negate over a decade of patient care and does necessitate a 6-month admission. That does not necessitate a 6-month admission, correct?
You're exactly right. And of course, any typos in this brief are entirely
fine. I understand. I just want to make sure you weren't arguing for that.
We're absolutely not arguing for 6-month probation. That was a typo. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Correct.
Any other questions by board members? Okay. Thank you very, very much. The board will now deliberate the matter.
They get a closing statement.
After the questions, you can go ahead and give them a brief.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Mr. President, thank you for that. I don't think I need to labor it much further. I appreciate Member Greer's comments, absolutely, and I would just reemphasize those that the board ultimately is going to be the fact finder in this in terms of which credibility to weigh. I believe, unlike some of the earlier witnesses we saw in this very room today, the complainant who appears personally and conveys and is willing to submit themselves to questions has a different level of credibility. So ultimately, again, our request here on review is for the board to dismiss the substandard of care charge and take whatever appropriate action it would deem in its discretion appropriate on the documentation issue, which ultimately we request be non-disciplinary, consistent with its prior decisions. So with that, thank you for the opportunity to present today.
Okay. All right. So now we'll deliberate and without any further interruptions. Now, the board now has several possible motions that I'm willing to consider. One is to deny the request for rehearing review. If that's done, we need to establish what the grounds are pursuant to AAC R2-24-304. Second, we could move the board to grant review of the board, the order passed, by identifying specific grounds for review. And number three, the board could grant a rehearing in whole or in part, identifying the specific ground for rehearing. If the rehearing is granted in part specific, you have to specify the scope of that rehearing. And if a rehearing is granted, the rehearing shall be held within 60 days after the issue date. Okay.
And Dr. Cornwell, I believe that Dr. Brannon and counsel have had the board focus on a review of the penalty under 5-7. That would be the review. Am I stating that correctly?
Yes, thank you, counsel. That in essence is what we believe would be the most appropriate remedy at this point. Understanding the board has total discretion to do whichever. So ultimately, we had to request both. We were uncertain, of course, whether the board would be inclined to hold a rehearing or if merely a review of its sanction would be appropriate. So technically, we're asking for all of that, but absolutely yield and respect how the board would like to fashion that.
Okay. So does each member of the board understand what our options are?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So discussion. And I'd be willing to entertain a motion as well.
Mr.
appreciate and understand the discussion. I would.
Can you speak up?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I appreciate the discussion. And look forward to hearing, my fellow board members' thoughts on this. I did agree that there, basically, I felt like that there was a really good amount of evidence that really, supported the decisions around, poor documentation, substandard of care, which reflects, documentation reflects the care. There are a lot of holes in what we had to look at as far as documentation for that particular patient, and justifying the decisions made in the treatment, and lack of evaluative requirements per state code. So I still stand with the discussion and the decisions about around the findings for discipline, for documentation, supervision, and documentation particularly, and a standard of care.
Documentation and standard of care really kind of go hand in hand. I mean, you have a standard of care, and you then are expected to document what you did to meet that standard of care. And so, I still think that this is more related to documentation, but we were, you know, it did reflect a standard of care because there wasn't enough documentation to show that plan of care was based on an evaluation, a thorough enough evaluation. I guess I'm willing to entertain some review or modifications of the order. I think we had her. There was monitoring, right? Or
no.
Chart reviews.
There was a three record chart review
chart
with
reviews.
Early termination available.
Yeah. So I'm willing to reconsider the chart review because I don't know. I look at chart reviews as if I don't trust that they're going to implement what they learned about documentation, and I'm not sure that I distrust her like that. So
interestingly, I voted against the motion at the prior hearing. I didn't think this rose to the level of discipline. I was voted down. But I think the process we used to get that decision was appropriate. And so even though I disagree, I still disagree with the decision that we made. If we had heard this case again, I'd probably vote the same way I did last time. I don't think the grounds should rehear it, just because I lost. I think we had evidence in the record to support our case, to support the decision. We had the testimony of the patient who said, I just copied the records over. The notes appear to be very similar, and I understand that can happen with an active patient, as Brandon testified, but the superview of the board to say that we believe the student, who was obviously affected enough to file a board complaint, felt like something untoward was going on over the professional who says, no, I did all those measures. Got the, I can't remember the name of the tool, I'm not a clinician,
diameter.
Out and made the measurements on this patient. I think we have the ability to do that. If you guys want to rehear it, I'm happy to vote to rehear it because, like I said, I think the decision was wrong. But I think the process we used in getting there was fine.
I'm not unhappy with the chart review. I feel like it's the only type of outcome that we can have. Other than the person's word that says, I will do a better job. I feel that because we are approaching the two-year anniversary and Dr. Brannon took the documentation course relatively recently, I don't know, maybe had she taken it a year ago, I'd feel differently today, but I feel like it was a very recent, as all of this was coming to a head, and if there was a different way to measure the outcome,
I'm more than willing to entertain a change. But I just don't feel that there is other than a chart review.
I agree with that. And I also have, I still have concerns about how Dr. Graham mentored the student when she was there. It didn't seem like there was any communication. And to be frank, it's not up to the student, more or less, to go up and question things without any input from the physical therapist. And Dr. Brennan did not contact the CI or return calls. You know, that's unheard of. So I think there's room of improvement all around. I would not be in favor of granting this rehearing.
Any comments?
No. No additional comments.
I kind of concur with Mr. Greer that, you know, we went through a process and the board has come to a conclusion. And I think the process in open session was a good process. You know, I just don't see any grounds to grant a rehearing. I don't see any grounds to, I don't see it as excessive at ordering, you know, education and a three chart review. We have certainly done a lot more for someone who has bad charting. So, and as Dr. Cornwell said, you know, if we didn't trust that it would be implemented, yeah, we would have had a monitor come in, pull charts and stuff like that. I just don't see the grounds and off the, you know, you have a student making a complaint. Is that any different than a patient or somebody else? A student should have a better understanding of the profession than a person who's not connected with the profession at all. And to go after the student, you know, I mean, she submitted to an interview. It wasn't like she made a complaint and then wouldn't talk to the investigators. You know, I think it's just a distraction in this case. And her testimony was presented to us, and you know, I just don't see any grounds for granting this motion.
Mr. President, and apologies for interrupting. I do want to make clear what we're asking for.
I don't believe you asked. We're in discussion now.
If I may make one point, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I do want to make clear what it is that we're asking for. We, to a large extent, agree that a rehearing of this matter is not necessary given the facts at hand. The rule 24308, this is essentially what we're asking for, also permits the board to modify and review the evidence at hand. So two separate things, a redo or a review and a modification,
right,
given the evidence. And that is really what we're focused on.
I hope all the board members are clear on that, is that we have three options available to
yes,
us.
Yes, sir.
And so I don't think the individuals are, quote, voting for one of those three yet. We don't have a motion.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, but I will ask for a motion. I thought that was your signal.
No, but that's what I had reiterated earlier from Mr. Mesa, is what they're asking.
Okay. So, I'm be willing to entertain a motion.
I make a motion to deny the rehearing.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any other discussion on the motion to deny? Since this is to deny them, does this deny a review as well.
Would you like legal advice on that?
I think maybe I better. Okay, I just don't know whether or not we need to treat those three options separately. Okay?
Can you withdraw your motion so we can have a legal advice? Or do we need to withdraw the motion?
You could, just for
clarity.
Clarity, that's true.
I don't see any reason to deny.
I would move to go to executive session to obtain legal advice.
Second.
Okay. All right, we'll be back, thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bestio?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?